Breaking Character, the podcast dedicated to Southwest Michigan's arts and entertainment scene. I'm Jeremy D. Bonfiglio.
And I'm Paul Mao. Breaking Character is sponsored by the Mendel Center, Lake Michigan College, and the Herald Palladium, with additional support from Twin City Players, Krasl Arts Center, and the Mason Jar Cafe. On today's episode, we will hear from writer-director Susan Padveen about the stage reading of her play, The Portrait, at the Judith Racht Gallery, and pianist Alan Barkas, who presents Confessions of a Reluctant Musician 4 at the Acorn Theater. But first, it's time for another Art Hop, Fall Art Hop, my favorite, in the Benton Harbor Arts District. So joining us in the studio today from the New Territory Arts Association's Nathan Margoni and from Water Street Glassworks, Donna Sowers. Thank you guys for joining us today.
Thank you.
Yeah. So now, Nathan, let's start with you. What can you tell us about Friday's Fall Art Hop and some of the things that are planned?
Well, the list is long, so we do an art hop quarterly.
Quarterly.
This is our fall art hop. And
do you do a winter art hop, too?
We do. There's one in December.
Wow.
Yeah.
In what, December?
Yeah.
Whoa.
All right. That's right.
Forecast that, too.
It's, you know, it's usually a little lower attendance than
when the weather's nice. Place to place.
But it's still fun.
Cool.
But, yeah, we have, like, so many things going on at this art hop. Everybody's participating. Some of the highlights for me are, let's see, the Benton Harbor Public Library has an interesting artist, David Smichel, with some acrylic paintings that are kind of folk art inspired. The Out Center has a good friend of mine and ours, Clement Teo.
Yes, I love Clement.
Yeah.
Really detailed, surreal drawings, and that show is called A Journey Past to Present.
He's so lovely, too.
He's a lovely man.
Yeah.
I love his laugh.
Yeah, great work and just so open.
Yeah, and let's see, what else should I bring up here? ARS Gallery, we'll have a whole slew of artists in addition to Matt Caseworm, who's kind of the current exhibition there.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's going to be like cats and dogs. Did you guys read about this?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
I told my wife we need to adopt one.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
So Animal Aid of Southwest Michigan is going to have dogs that are up for adoption at the livery, like outside there in the little beer garden area.
Yeah.
And cats outside of 210 Water Street.
So they won't be together.
They're keeping
cats
together.
And dogs together.
Mass hysteria.
Right. You can. I don't think they can even see each other. From
Thank God.
Each location.
No one needs that fight.
So like, that's the first time Animal Aid has participated. So I'm excited to see. You know, I don't even know how that happened, but it sounds awesome.
So it'll be like 72 degrees, I think, that day too. So yeah. we'll hope for the best.
Yeah. Ooh, la, la.
Fingers crossed.
Oh, also at the livery, they're like tapping a special Firkin Art Hop beer.
Firkin for certain.
At 5:15.
Oh, okay.
So look out for that.
An art hop beer. Yeah. Nice.
And they have a new artist as well. There's just, you know, and there's music, live music there.
Waterfall Wash.
Yeah.
And there's live music outside of the record store,
Three Pillars Music.
And that's the Rain Dogs.
Rain Dogs.
Oh, yeah. Rain Dogs, yeah, they're great. Yeah.
Great. Cool.
I could go on, but I mean, we only have so much time.
Let's talk to Donna a little bit about Water Street. Now, it's October. There's a glass pumpkin tradition. That kind of happens over there at Water Street Glass. So tell me what you guys have happening in the Doris Akers Gallery. What do you have planned?
Yeah, thank you. Well, our glass artist has been tirelessly working on filling our pumpkin patch.
Yay.
So we have handcrafted pumpkins in the traditional, you know, fall and autumnal colors, plus acorns and gourds and leaves. But one of the things we're really excited about this season is we have glow-in-the-dark pumpkins.
Oh, wow.
I have to say they're pretty cool. So
the glass is glow-in-the-dark?
The glass is glow-in-the-dark. So the glow-in-the-dark pumpkins also come with a black light.
Really?
They do.
So it's limited production for this season, and we're really excited about those.
Are they $100? Are they $2? Are they $1 million? Sometimes they range in price, size.
Right, yeah.
They're
$1 million.
Yeah.
They're $1 million? Okay, I'll bring my $1 million bills.
And it should be noted that 100% of the proceeds does go to Water Street. But no,
I just want one, and that's why I wonder how cheap I can get in on the black light.
Glow in the dark is not cheap, folks.
All right.
Our fall,
$26.
Our fall pumpkins go from $35 to $55, and our glow in the dark are from $65 to $75.
Oh, that's so very totally fall. Reasonable.
That's really
cool.
Steal.
Yeah.
I think so too.
That's way less than $1 million.
Yeah,
for
original artwork. Are you kidding me? That's awesome. Yeah. Oh, that's great. And then you guys also have live demonstrations going on, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's one of the you know, things that we do offer is really, and it's one of the highlights of the evening, is being able to watch glassblowers in our studio. you know, it's always a fan favorite. Mm-hmm. So we'll have our artists demonstrating all evening. It's a time for to learn about glass. We have a great team in place. We'll also have narrators that, you know, explain the process.
Oh, great.
But we'll also have demonstrating our new artist in residence, Mert Unger, who is from Turkey.
Oh, wow.
He's our first artist in residence. We're really thrilled to have him. He's extremely talented. He's brought a lot of energy and new ideas to the studio.
Oh,
so
wow.
He'll be one of the glass artists.
He's also my roommate. You
cool.
guys should know.
For real?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Take some village here. Here. It's a family show.
And, you know, if you haven't seen, you had a chance to go and see the kilns and see the molten glass come out.
It's amazing.
It's really cool.
It's just really cool.
Well, and Water Street Glassworks is a mainstay. It's an anchor for the Arts District. And
yeah,
it wouldn't
absolutely.
Be the same place without it. So
it is.
Everything you guys
you.
Do there is so important.
Thank you. And, you know, it's an opportunity for us to, you know, not only have our work in the gallery, but the Art Hub is an opportunity for us to really share with the community our passion for the arts and, you know, for the artist district in general. So we're really happy to be a part of it and, you know, to share what we do and have people see that we have classes not only in glass, but also the metal studio. So, you know, yeah.
Are these pumpkins mostly by professionals or some by your students?
They're all by our studio artists.
Okay.
So, but we also do have student work within the gallery.
That's great. Fantastic. Oh,
perfect.
That's fantastic what you guys do there. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
A couple of things. Citadel Dance and Music Center will welcome visitors down there, right, as well?
They will.
And the Collective Yoga Studio and Rebel Cafe.
Oh,
will kick
they have
off
a cool thing.
Indoor Organic Farmers and Artisans Market. Is that you have something else?
It's an indoor organic farmer. That's exciting to me.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know if you had something. Guests can buy local organic produce, grass-finished meats from Primal Roots Sustainable Farms, locally roasted Dweller's Coffee, and much more. Yeah, I think we've covered everything. Real exciting. Lots of things going on in the Arts District, always, but especially this Friday night from 6 to 9 p.m., right? New Territory Arts Association's Fall Art Hop takes place from 6 to 9 p.m. Friday in Benton Harbor Arts District, centered in Territorial Road and Water Street area. For more info, visit NTAA's website at newterritoryarts.org, or Water Street's website is what, Donna?
WaterStreetGlassworks.org.
Fantastic. Yeah. Check those both out. Thanks, Nathan and Donna, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks,
good
guys.
Good to see you guys.
Thanks.
We'll be there.
Yeah, see you Friday. Gustav Klimt, the Austrian symbolist painter, perhaps best known for The Kiss, is the subject of a new one-man show titled The Portrait, which will be staged for one night only at 7:30 p.m. Saturday in the Judith Rack Gallery down in Harbert. Written and directed by Union Pier resident Susan Padveen and starring Matt Maxwell, and also produced by the Neapolitans out of Chicago, The Portrait tells the story of the renowned painter as he navigates a tumultuous personal life while also attempting to secure a sizable commission from a woman of Viennese society. The Portrait premiered at the Solo Celebration Festival of One-Person Plays at the Greenhouse Theater Center in Chicago and will make its Canadian premiere later this fall at SpringWorks Festival in Stratford, Ontario. I recently spoke with Susan about the origins of the play, and here's what she had to say.
Originally, I had no intention of writing the play, but I saw a picture of Klimt on the back of a book, and it looked an awful lot like a good friend of mine who was an actor, and I thought, it would be interesting to do a one-man show. And so that was kind of the jumping-off point. He was involved in doing some of the early readings that we did of the play, but is not doing the show at this time. But it was great to have that as sort of a rationale for jumping into it. And I mean, I loved Klimt. That was why I was looking at the book. I love his painting, and I'm also really fascinated with him as a person. I feel like, you know, at the time he was really on the edge of so many things, both in terms of his painting style and also his sort of life choices. And so, yeah, that's sort of where it all started.
Now, getting a full picture of Klimt was particularly difficult because he seldom talked about or wrote about his own work. We talked a little bit about her research for this particular play.
He is one of those artists who did not write a lot about his own work. He did not talk to others about his own work. So most of the research I did was based on other people's either reviews or conversations, or there was a woman who had sort of an affair with him who in her autobiography wrote a big section, and there was a little bit of what he had said to her in there. So it was really interesting and kind of challenging because the voice was not there. It had to be created. But I also, and the incident with Amelia Pfluge, which is one of the sort of core pieces of the play, never really happened. I created that. But, you know, I imagine that there was a challenge for him in the fact that he was involved with a lot of women romantically, but only one who he was really sort of committed to, and yet he never married. And so that was sort of why this sort of period where he already was, you know, quite well received, but, you know, because of the kind of work he did, he had challenges.
Of course, a one-person show has a sense of building intimacy that Susan also wanted to tap into.
I think the intimacy was definitely a big part of it. And, you know, the idea of, I mean, the framework of the play is that he is trying to get this woman to agree to a commission. And so, you know, it just seemed to make sense that the focus was on him and on her perception of him, both as an artist and as a man. And so it being a one-man show would sort of made sense from that point of view. I don't know if there's more to it than that, other than that he was such an iconoclast, you know, that, and we don't know anything about his interaction with people, you know, other than, again, as I said, that, you know, some people wrote about him, that I just thought it was really interesting. You know, there's a couple of movies about Klimt. There's one sort of famous one that where John Malkovich played Klimt. And, you know, I just think that in the story of Gustav Klimt, Klimt is the most interesting piece of it.
Now, we also talked just a little bit about Susan's history and why she wanted to do this at the Judith Rock Gallery.
Yeah, I've done a couple of things at Judith Gallery. I did a production of a play called The Shape of Things, which we actually moved the audience through the building for different scenes. This is really interesting and fun. And then we did a couple of performances of a play called It's a Genealogy, which was an adaptation of a Greek drama that we did in a tent outside the gallery. So, you know, we've done a couple of things. The Shape of Things is a play about art as well, so it sort of seemed to make sense. But particularly this play seems to really make sense to do in a gallery because it's about art. And so when I realized that we were going to be going to Stratford, it just seemed like a great opportunity to be able to do a performance at Judith's. And she was generous enough to.
The Neapolitans present The Portrait, an evening with Gustav Klimt, written and directed by Susan Patveen and starring Matt Maxwell at 7:30 p.m. Saturday at the Judith Rock Gallery, which is at 13689 Prairie Road in Harbert. Tickets are just $20. And for more information, you can call the gallery at 469-1080 or visit judithrockgallery.wordpress.com.
LaPorte, Indiana pianist, songwriter, and humorist Alan Barkus returns with Confessions of a Reluctant Musician 4 on Saturday at the Acorn Theater in Three Oaks. In this fourth and final installment of his one-man show, Barkus will be joined by a rhythm section, a small horn section, three Chicago singers, as well as a couple of surprise guest artists. The music and wry commentary will explore the pleasures and frustrations of growing up in Indiana, his stints conducting an orchestra at Chicago's Playboy Club, and as the musical director for the Chicago production of Hair. Alan will perform his songs It Ain't Easy Getting Old, a Best Song nominee in the Internet Music Awards, Don't I Know, recently optioned by two different movie studios, and You're My Cubs, the official fight song the Cubs that brought the team onto Wrigley Field from 1989 to 2001. Jeremy recently caught up with Alan to talk about his show.
This is fourth in what I think of a series called, it's always titled Alan Barkus, Confessions of a Reluctant Musician. And that started out under that title just because I was doing as much talking as I was playing and singing. And it was, you know, how I ended up in music. Someone with a father who played in the minor league baseball and a mother who wanted me generation piano player in the family, and I figured if there was anything to genetics, which as it turns out there isn't, I would have been a baseball star, which I wasn't. So I did my best to talk my way out of piano lessons, finally doing it, and then I got in college and I was a runner, and I was nervous and I before a meet, so I started going over to the practice rooms in the music department, the music building. And before I knew it, I had discovered stuff, and I found jazz, and I became a piano player in college years after I took the lessons. So that's what the idea of the story was. Now, it was interspersed with music, of course, and some of the music applied to that premise, and some didn't. Less and less has applied to it as we go, so this is the last in this series. But they've been well attended, and actually I've been delighted with them, and I'm delighted to be there again.
Now, Alan's musical career is quite versatile and spans everything from theatrical musicals to commercial spots.
My background has been that. I did commercials for a long time. It lived in Chicago. I didn't actually live there. I've always lived in La Porte other than a 30-year gap because we lived in Chicago for a while. But in the music scene over there, I worked at the Playboy Club and I was a music director for the Chicago company of Hair. And so I got an interest in the theater there. So I've written, I guess, five things that have been produced. Musicals, all but one was a straight, it was a straight play, the other one, but the others have all been musicals. And so my interest from that came from Hair. I became friends with, I don't know if you know the name, Joe Mantegna. He's an actor.
Yeah, I knew Joe.
Yeah, Joey and I are friends from those days, and he's always inspiring me to new things. So I think it started there. He says, you know, you're going to play concerts. The stuff you write is funny and entertaining, and you're virtually a stand-up comedian, which I'm not, but I, as a guy telling stories, I do fine. And that's the sort of thing this is. By finishing off where I left off on my life story, it's starting in college and how I ended up, you know, at the Playboy Club for 5 years and in Hair for the whole 2-year run. I was on and off with another guy rotating between those jobs. So I'm a theater guy if there ever was one, but the stuff I'll be doing at the Acorn isn't that way. Some of them are comedy songs, I guess you would say. Some are the kind of thing that a songwriter... the title of my CD, my current CD, which is 5 years old, is Don't I Know, which is a sad ballad about, someone has left. So it's all those kind of songs, and I'm going to do at least three songs. Well, I guess it is three songs that honor something that happened in my life. Number one, Chuck Berry died recently,
right.
And I had a brief encounter with Chuck Berry. in which he asked me to play with him without ever having heard me play. And I couldn't because he was in prison at the time. but anyway, so I'm going to do one of his songs, the one that was in Pulp Fiction, if you saw that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, where the John Travolta and Uma Thurman do the twist.
Oh, uh-huh.
That's to a, uh-huh. That's to a Chuck Berry song called, let's see, what's the name of it? Goes to show you never can tell. Oh, yeah. Never can yeah. tell is yeah. the title. So I'm going to do my take on that. My uncle used to play the mandolin, and my earliest memory of music is him playing a song called Old Joe Clark, which probably dates back to the Civil War. And I'm doing a somewhat altered, well, extremely altered take on that. And so on. Yeah. I think everything else is stuff I've written. Two of the songs from Lords of the Levee. And what else? I wrote a song that was a Cubs fight song for, well, they brought him out on a field with it from 1989, I guess, to 2001. And it replaced a song called, which you well know, Go Cubs Go,
right.
by a friend of mine named Steve Goodman, who died, and he knew he was dying, and he wrote a song on his last album called A Dying Cub Fan's Last Request.
Right.
And it was not kind to the Tribune Company, so they refused to play his song anymore, and they were looking around for one. And so there was sort of a little contest going. Every star that ever had a record anywhere that anybody knew of that mentioned baseball, they approached a guy named John Fogerty, did a song called Center Field.
Sure.
Put me in, coach,
sure.
I'm ready to play. Okay, well, they got a hold of him, and he wrote one. The Beach Boys wrote one. I don't know how many they had, but I said, damn, I'm a Cub fan. I know their history. So mine was all filled with the memorabilia of, you know, bad memories of the Cubs, really. Anyway, they played it all that time, and it's been on a bunch of anthology records, and I'm going to play that one, which is the first time I've ever really performed it. It's going to be a whole lot different than the 1989 version, which was all, as it was in the 80s, synthesizers and guitars.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
I won't have either of those.
Now, I, of course, had to ask Alan to share that Chuck Berry prison story, and this is what he told me.
I was playing on a what they used to call AAU basketball team out of Terre Haute, Clark Equipment, they were called. And every year you play a full schedule, then you try to play in the AAU state tournament, and you try to get to the Nationals. Well, we never got there because we always had to play a team that was partly Indiana University players and partly Purdue players, the mm-hmm. best off of both. We had no chance. So, but to get ready for that, we used to put the prisons. There was a federal prison in Terre Haute and two or three others around. Always terrific. Those guys could have beat the Purdue team, I think. That's all I did all day long is play basketball and all kinds of guys in there. So anyway, this we play them twice a year, the whole 3 years. So this first time of the year, whatever year this was, that I went in there in the 60s sometime, and the real good team is not there, and the stands are empty. And I thought, what is this? They're always packed. And the team is, I never saw any of these guys. And one of the guys came over to me and said, now look, we don't want you guys to call any timeouts, and there's not going to be a halftime. Is that okay? What's going on? And he pulled me aside. So he says, do you know who Chuck Berry is? I said, I certainly do. He said, he's in here. You know, Chuck had a little problem with the age of consent. I think he was in there two different times. But anyway, he said, he's playing a concert today, and this game has to end in 45 minutes. And that's about what a game is, direct play.
Right.
Because we're going right from here in there. Everybody in the whole place will be there, and he's going to play a concert. So after the game, they used to feed the visiting team, you know, because the games were around noon. They come and eat in the cafeteria. It's empty. So I said to one of the guards, you know, I don't need to eat. I'd like to see Chuck Berry. He said, you think you're going in there with those guys? He makes them crazy. But then another guard said, what if we put him backstage? So they put me, well, backstage. It was a short hallway into the stage. There wasn't anything back there. So they let me go back there. He says, if there's trouble, I'll come and get you. Well, the band is out there tuning up, and then they're warming up, and the crowd is getting antsy, and here comes Chuck Berry. He's never seen anybody, I suppose, in this place. And he says, white boy, you come to play with me? I said, if you put a piano out there, I will. He says, you play the piano? I said, yes. He said, what kind of songs do you know? And I knew who had influenced him. His biggest influence was a guy named Huey P. Smith and the Clowns.
From
the Delta area somewhere. They had a hit called I Got to Rockin' the Moon and the Boogie Woogie Flip. I said, well, I know Huey P. and I know Rockin' Pneumonia and Boogie Woogie Flute. He said, you know Huey P. At the end of the last line of that song, Huey says, I got the Rockin' Pneumonia. Now, why? I don't know. I said, yes, I do. I got the Rockin' Pneumonia. And he threw up his hands, and just when they introduced him, he went out, he made four measures, and the crowd came running up to the stage. They were beating on it. The guard came and got me. I never heard him sing a note. So that's my Chuck Berry.
Alan Barkus and his Halloween sound effects presents Confessions of a Reluctant Musician 4 at 8 p.m. Saturday at the Acorn Theater. Squeaky doors and all. 107 Generations Drive, Three Oaks. Tickets are $25. For more details, call 756-3879 or visit the website www.acorntheater.com. Always great things happening at the Acorn.
Yeah.
Around Halloween or not, right, Jeremy?
And in the HP newsroom, as we get to hear every week.
There's a birthday party.
Oh, my gosh.
Enjoy the sound effects and the background noise as much as we enjoy the interviews, ladies and gentlemen.
You know what's funny is because, since I work in an open newsroom and I have to focus.
Get Jeremy in office. Can we get a Kickstarter for that? You've been at a cubicle long enough, sir.
I know, right? And so, I'm just used to, drowning it out. And then, we get on here. And we're just cracking up at the back guns. I'm like, what are my coworkers doing? I'm trying to talk.
It's hilarious. But yeah. I'm waiting for some serious.
So as you saw at one point, I abandoned the office for my car as you heard my
That's
car
fine.
Door beeping. So
I'm just waiting for some Peter Parker background. Pay not get in my office right now. You see, right. Spider-Man's on top of the roof again. See? Isn't that what happens every day?
Pretty much. That is almost exactly. That's exactly what Dave Brown sounds like.
Extra. Hear all about it. Anyway.
All right. Well, there's a ton of other things happening this weekend.
It's a big weekend.
That we want to dive into. So let's, here's a couple of those things. Academy.
I can make background noise while you're talking.
That would make me feel right at home.
Go ahead.
Academy Award-winning documentary filmmaker Charles Ferguson, who did Inside Job, No End in Sight, turns his lens to address worldwide climate change challenges and solutions in his new film, Time to Choose, which will be shown at 7 o'clock tonight at the Bering Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, 4340 Lincoln Avenue in St. Joe, as part of their environmental justice film series. Admission is free and includes popcorn. So for details, call 429-2883 or visit baryonuu.org.
Sweet. Laura Joy, who was a top three finalist in the Acorn Singer-Songwriter Contest earlier this year, returns to host their open mic 8 p.m. tonight at the Acorn Theater, 107 Generations Drive, Three Oaks. Admission is free. Jeremy, you were part of that, weren't you?
I was, yeah. I was the judge for
Tell us about Laura Joy.
She is kind of fun and quirky. She has a style. It's like, I remember reading her song lyrics, and then when she came on, it was like a totally different presentation than I expected. But so she's a lot of fun. I think, maybe a little cross between Tori Amos. I don't know, maybe... Amy Mann.
Yeah, local guitar. Performers get down there, sign up for your open mic. It's always a great reason to go to the Acorn and have a drink and listen to some local performers or perform yourself. But
they do a cool
be able to do it for free.
Mic.
And Acorn Theater doesn't always have a free open night like this. So check it out.
And then the Beckwith Theater Company is presenting Dracula 7:30 p.m. Friday and Saturday and 2 p.m. Sunday, both this weekend and next at the Beckwith Theater, 100 New York Avenue in Dowagiac. The new adaptation restores the suspense and seduction of Bram Stoker's classic novel, with David Prouty stepping into the title role. Jacob Holmes is portraying Jonathan Harker, Lucinda Gary Moriarty as Van Helsing, Katherine Hine as Mina, and Laura Simmons as Lucy. Rich with both humor and horror, the play paints a wickedly theatrical picture of Stoker's famous vampire. Andy Kreisbaum, Tara Schaefer, and Matt Davidson are co-directing this show. Tickets are just $10, folks. For details, call 782-7653 or visit www.beckwiththeater.com.
And the band Waterfall Wash, the fuzzy synth-pop Nashville band of Michael Roddy, Ellis Evans, Wes Kramer, and Marshall Dunn, return for a 9 p.m. Friday show at the Livery. Admission's free. Come check out Waterfall Wash after you roam the Art Hop. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
At the Livery, 195th Street, Benton Harbor. Come check it out at the after party and hear some music, 925-8760, or visit www.liverybrew.com for more info.
The 80s hair bands Warrant and Winger are taking over Four Winds Casino at 9 p.m. Friday when they perform at Silver Creek Event Center, 11111 Wilson Road, New Buffalo. As Paul alluded to, Warrant had such notable hits as Heaven.
Yes,
and Cherry Pie. While Winger contributed singles 17 and Headed for a Heartbreak. So I guess Stewart can once again proudly whip out his Winger t-shirt. Sorry, Beavis and Butthead, your Metallica and AC/DC merch will not be welcomed. Just ask Kip Winger about that. Mm-hmm. Tickets are $39 to $59.
Or ask Jason George.
Jason George.
He's a huge Winger fan.
You know, or Stewart, who will, you know, I'm sure is part the head of the Winger fan
club. That's a better idea.
You know, or you can call 866-494-6371 or visit www.fourwindscasino.com for more info. Remind me to tell you my Kip Winger story one day.
You've got a Kip Winger story?
Oh, yeah.
Why aren't you telling it now?
Let's just say I have a list of interviews that maybe didn't quite go so well. And Kip Winger's number two on that list. Let me just say
that's
that.
Actually Warren. So, sorry. Okay. Yeah. I want to hear that story off air.
All right. There we go.
And Acorn favorite Miles Nielsen and the Rusted Hearts perform 7 p.m. Sunday at the Acorn, 107 Generations Drive, Three Oaks. The band is just back from their first European tour, having released their hugely successful third LP, Heavy Metal. Of course, Miles is the son of Cheap Trick's Rick Nielsen. Tickets are only $25. For details, call 756-3879 or www.acorntheater.com.
Now, of course, this couldn't make the podcast because I'm scheduled to interview Mike Love like right after this taping.
Nice.
But we need to mention the Beach Boys are going to be performing at 8 o'clock on next Wednesday at the Mendel Center of Lake Michigan College, 2755 East Napier Avenue in Benton Harbor. The Beach Boys are led by, of course, Mike Love and Bruce Johnson, who along with Jeffrey Foskett, Brian Aikenberger, Tim Bonham, John Cousill, and Scott Totten continue the legacy of the iconic American band. We should note, however, that this tour does not include Brian Wilson, Al Jardine, or David Marks. But tickets are $57.97. For details, you can call 927-8700 or visit themendelcenter.com. It's going to sell out, folks. So you might want to get tickets. And, you know, Mike Love is really responsible for a big, big chunk of that Beach Boys repertoire. So he's going to be doing all that stuff. So make sure you check that out.
Yeah. The only other thing I want everybody to get on their calendar as soon as possible is my good friends Norma Tirado and Leah Tirado have announced they're going to have a concert for Puerto Rico.
Oh.
That's a couple weeks from now, but everybody mark your calendars. Sunday, November 5th at 3 o'clock at the Livery. All proceeds will go to help the folks in Puerto Rico. So we're real excited about that.
Very cool.
They're going to have like mason jars or some sort of containers at every single brew pub and most restaurants in the area. So you can, even if you can't make that date, you can contribute some funds or some change or anything to help the poor people in Puerto Rico with their recovery from the hurricane.
That's right. Because we're, you know, they are, despite what half of people think. They are American citizens,
oh,
folks.
Oh, they are?
No. Yeah, and we, you know, we need to take care of our own.
Yeah, so if you can make it down there to Liberty, it's going to be a great event Sunday, the 5th of November, 3 o'clock at the Liberty. I'm sure we'll talk about it more as we
get closer. All right, well, great. Well, hey, so that'll do it, I guess, for this week's Breaking Character. Be sure to join us again next Thursday as we talk about Martin Bear of Jethro Tull at the Liberty. What? Which is also actually
amazing.
Next
Beach
Thursday.
Beach Boys, Jethro Tull. Howie Mandel, Art Garfunkel, right here.
Yeah.
Everybody, right here.
Yeah, I know.
Down
in our little Hamlet. So, but Martin Bear, that show, we should know, is also actually next Thursday, which is the date the podcast launches. So if you haven't gotten your tickets, do so pronto, because I think, you know, in an intimate space like the Livery, that's going to sell it as well.
Amazing.
And then you can listen to and hear about, I had already interviewed Martin. He had a lot to say about his music, and he's... It sounds like it's going to be really freaking cool, folks. So, and then we'll also talk about the Twin City Players production.
Murder in Green Meadows.
There you go. There you go. Wow. Talk about sound effects.
Be dramatic.
So hopefully we'll get the TCP folks in here in studio.
There's got to be creaking doors in
there. Yeah, exactly. I'll make sure.
Will you interview them from the car?
I will. Interview them from the car, and I'll creak my door and
perfect.
and all that stuff, so we can do that.
You can interview from my car. It smells like wet dog.
Mmm, delicious.
Apparently, it leaked during the deluge of the flood on Saturday night, so it smells real good in my car. Anyone want to ride, let me know.
All right, yeah, great. Looking forward to carpooling with Paul. Of course, you can also read about many of the events we discuss here on Breaking Character in Sight and Sound, the weekly entertainment guide, which appears each Thursday in the Herald Palladium and online under the Sight and Sound tab on www.vhp.com, or follow me on Facebook writer page under Jeremy D. Bonfiglio, or on Twitter at HP Bonfiglio. Oh, I should say, that Beach Boys story that I'm going to be writing after I interview him is going to be running this upcoming Sunday. So if you want to find out what I actually do talk to Mike Love about, you can read it there.
Nice. Sunday's focus page.
Features.
You can follow me on Facebook at Paul Mau Productions, or on Twitter at PM Tenor. We want to thank our engineer, Louis Kujecki, for putting up with us, and everyone at Midwest Family Broadcasting to use the studios here. My buddy Andrew Wyatt of the band Mike Snow for our theme song Black and Blue, which you'll be playing right about now. And of course, all of our sponsors, the Mendelssohn at Lake Michigan College, Harold Palladium, the Twin City Players, Kreslar Center, the Mason Jar Cafe, and maybe some future sponsors here in a minute.
Maybe, yeah.
Come on down. You can subscribe to Breaking Character at 983thecoast.com, WSJM.com, or find it on the website, the Harold Palladium, or the Mendelssohn, and via iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Thanks again for listening to Breaking Character.